I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
What amount of death and destruction among the people of Texas or any other state is sufficient to say the state should take action under the law? Like, what? How much death should Texas take? How many Texans should die every day? Again, fentanyl. We've got 75,000 across the country, whatever the thousands are in Texas. How many of those should die every year before the state of Texas does something about it?
Well, of course, the state of Texas is trying to do something about it, but they're being blocked by the Biden administration. Those questions being raised by Texas Congressman Chip Roy. How many do we have to have die in our state before we put an end to our open border situation? And not just our state, but across the U.S. Solid question. But, of course, as far as the Biden administration, let them come. We'll deal with the consequences. They're not going to deal with the consequences. They're going to leave them on your back doorstep and coming out of funds for your children's school and health care and their future. Thank you for joining us. Here we are, Feb 1, 2024. This is the first of 2 hours of Larry Connors USA back-to-back for you. When we're on the air, we are streaming video. Now, we did have a problem yesterday, but it's corrected. So we're streaming video when we're on the air at Newstalk STL Facebook, Twitter, Rumble, YouTube, and at Larry Connors USA, Facebook, Rumble, Twitter. And if you miss anything, you simply go to LarryConnorsUSA.com or Larry Connors USA Facebook. And everything is still showing there as a podcast, audio, or video, or both. And then when you watch or listen at your pleasure, then please also share to others. Make sure they're getting involved and hear this program. We fill this program with a lot of details. It's unlike any other. This is not to put any other program down. We're very precise about the guests we bring in, very incisive with our questions, and the pieces we are running for you, we're very detailed and back them up, give you sources so you can check them out. I don't want anyone to simply accept it because Larry Connors said it. That's not wise. You should always question sources. But the question that continues to baffle the Biden administration is what they're doing or not doing about the border. Now, they have, of course, through the House, passed a bill which would effectively shut it down. It's not going to make it to the Senate. We know that already. And the Senate is already trying to do their Mickey Mouse thing, run by Chuck Schumer and Mitch McConnell of the Republicans, helping them out, saying, well, we don't have to really give everything. We can kind of keep something going. As a proposal, let's say 5,000 illegals a day can come in. We're going to grant 5,000. If you're 5,001 that day, no, you wait till the next day. You'll be first in line for the next day. But we're going to let them in every day. That's a million plus in 1 year, in addition to what we've already got. And we're going to give some of them, if not all of them, at least at their age, a work permit so they can immediately go to work in the U.S. and come after your job, or actually jobs of minorities who are trying to find what they can, either landscaping, lawn maintenance, things of this nature. They don't have high skill, but they are good labor. And that means their wages are going to go down. They're going to be hurt. That is why so many in the minority community, especially Hispanic, do not like all this happening. For two reasons. One, they're going to come in and take jobs we already have and do it cheaper. Or two, they're going to probably settle in our neighborhood They're not going to go sit in the affluent areas out wherever they might be in a particular town or city. They're going to settle in the areas where they assimilate with like people, but they're not there necessarily to assimilate. They might be there to prey on them and hide out and commit crimes. Speaker Johnson for the House speaking on the floor yesterday.
A senior Border Patrol officer told us on that trip to Eagle Pass that if the Biden administration, if President Biden, by the stroke of a pen, would issue an executive order today to just simply reinstate Remain in Mexico, they think that that would stop the flow by 70%, 7-0, one stroke of a pen by the president. He does not seem to care. I told President Biden this myself on multiple occasions, most recently a couple of weeks ago on the phone. I read him the law that says that he has all this authority, but he refuses to act. And even that's even despite court orders, by the way, that instructed the administration to reinstitute Remain in Mexico while the litigation was going on. You know what they did? They ignored it. The administration refused it.
So if they're going to be given a new order, a new law, and they're going to ignore it, this game is stupid. I mean, you want to play Monopoly, and yet you're not going to get any money to start buying any property, and you're getting nothing at all. You're just going to sit there and be humiliated. But in this case, yeah, it's more than humiliation. We've got lives at stake. And even the blue cities and blue states, they know how bad this is, but yet they're saying the quiet part out loud sometimes, but then they try to murmur and try to keep it a little tighter. But sometimes you just can't stand back and ignore it entirely. An example, New York City. Video had surfaced, and you probably have seen it. It was played again the other night. New York City Mayor Eric Adams was asked to react to it. This involves two police officers in the midst of some migrants. And for some reason, they're going to arrest one of them. They're trying to take him down. He's fighting them. And then immediately other illegals, they want to call them migrants. I'm saying illegals. They come rushing to the aid of the man they're trying to arrest. They're kicking and hitting and attacking the officers. Thank goodness they were not severely hurt. But in New York, one of their TV channels was showing the video to the mayor and asked about this. The host said, "What should New Yorkers make of the fact that most of the people involved in this attack are migrants?" Now, again, I'm going to tell you, they're illegals, but they like the term migrant. The mayor answered, "Listen, I've been saying this over and over again. The national government, Joe Biden, the national government must do its job. This is not a responsibility. It should be placed in the lap of these big cities." Well, then why is it also being placed in the lap of the small cities, especially those on the border? He said, "What we're seeing taking place in Chicago and Denver and Boston, all across our country, big cities are having to do the national government's job. They did not care. May I remind you, these big cities did not give a D because it was not happening in their cities. Now it is, and now they say, yeah, the big government should be doing this, not us." They didn't care when the little cities and those along the border were experiencing it. And he continued saying, "These migrants," which again, they're illegals, Mayor, they're illegals. "These illegals are here because they want to be part of the American dream." Maybe some of them do. He said, "That's why we say yes to that." But those who are breaking our laws, they broke our law when they entered our country illegally. They've already broken a law. But he goes on to say, "Those who broke our laws, we need to re-examine the laws that don't allow us to deport them, because they're doing violent acts." So here's the mayor of New York City saying, "Yes, let's start deporting migrants, illegals, who commit violent acts." It took something as simple as that attack on those two officers for him finally to make that statement. Thank God the officers were not severely hurt. I want to share with you a piece from Fox News. Brett Baer has Molly Hemingway of the Federalist on with him. But as this story begins, you're going to hear from Joe Biden again, talking about, I'm doing everything I can. BS.
I got all I can do. Just give me the power. I've asked for the very day I got in office. Give me the border control. Give me the people. Give me the people, the judges. Give me the people who can stop this and make it work less.
Now, this one seems pretty easy, Molly, because I've done all I can do. Yes, on day one, there were 94 executive orders that overturned all of the policies the Trump administration has in place. He hasn't done all he can do.
He's done all he can do to open the border. And all of these things were done through executive action or removal of policies that were put in place piece by piece over the course of the previous administration. He was very clear when he ran for office that he wanted to open up the border. And then he set about doing it on day one. And it wasn't like this border situation just happened. There took a lot of work into tearing down everything that was done in terms of our work with Mexico and having them make sure that they did what they could on their side of the on the border. He's saying this because he wants to pretend that this bill is what he needs in order to, that he's passing the buck in terms of what has caused the problem. He has all the authority he needs right now. There is no need for a bill to give him more authority, particularly when he would just ignore it anyway.
Yeah, I'd ignore it anyway. All right, turning to another subject, big tech companies were facing tough questions about their standards or lack of and how they knowingly jeopardize, damage our children.
Social media is a very powerful tool, but we're here because every parent I know, and I think every parent in America, is terrified about the garbage that is directed at our kids. I have two teenagers at home, and the phones they have are portals to predators, to viciousness, to bullying, to self-harm. And each of your companies could do a lot more to prevent it. Mr. Zuckerberg, in June of 2023, the Wall Street Journal reported that Instagram's recommendation systems were actively connecting pedophiles to accounts that were advertising the sale of child sexual abuse material. In many cases, those accounts appeared to be run by underage children themselves, often using code words and emojis to advertise illicit material. In other cases, the accounts included indicia that the victim was being sex trafficked.
That was Senator Ted Cruz going after Mark Zuckerberg. Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri also took a shot at him on an issue dealing with the mental health issues.
Mr. Zuckerberg, let me start with you. Did I hear you say in your opening statement that there's no link between mental health and social media use?
Senator, what I said is I think it's important to look at the science. I know it's people widely talk about this as if that is something that's already been proven. And I think that the bulk of the scientific evidence does not support that.
Well, really, let me just remind you of some of the science from your own company. Instagram studied the effect of your platform on teenagers. Let me just read you some quotes from the Wall Street Journal's report on this. Company researchers found that Instagram is harmful for a sizable percentage of teenagers, most notably teenage girls. Here's a quote from your own study. Quote, we make body image issues worse for 1 in 3 teen girls. Here's another quote. Teens blame Instagram, this is your study, for increases in the rate of anxiety and depression. This reaction was unprompted and consistent across all groups. That's your study.
Your study showing that. Back to Senator Ted Cruz dealing with, you have no real guardrails to protect children from pedophiles.
But what was particularly concerning about the Wall Street Journal expose was the degree to which Instagram's own algorithm was promoting the discoverability of victims for pedophiles seeking child abuse material. In other words, this material wasn't just living on the dark corners of Instagram. Instagram was helping pedophiles find it by promoting graphic hashtags, including hashtag ped whore and hashtag preteen sex, to potential buyers. Instagram also displayed the following warning screen to individuals who were searching for child abuse material. These results may contain images of child sexual abuse. And then you gave users two choices. Get resources or see results anyway. Mr. Zuckerberg, what the hell were you thinking?
Perfect question. And there was no real answer to it. I want to go back to Senator Josh Hawley, and he was referring to a whistleblower, the information he had presented to the congressmen and senators.
Here's some information from a whistleblower who came before the Senate, testified under oath in public. He worked for you. It's a senior executive. Here's what he showed he found when he studied your products. So, for example, this is girls between the ages of 13 and 15 years old. 37% of them reported that they had been exposed to nudity on the platform unwanted in the last 7 days. 24% said that they had experienced unwanted sexual advances. They'd been propositioned in the last 7 days. 17% said they had encountered self-harm content pushed at them in the last 7 days. Now, I know you're familiar with these stats because he sent you an email where he lined it all out. I mean, we've got a copy of it right here. My question is, who did you fire for this?
Oh, that is a big question. We're going to get more into that question the next hour, but there's another thing I want to get to right now, because Josh Hawley got Zuckerberg to do something in the chambers. The audience is packed with parents who have pictures of their children they're holding up. This is my child. Look at her. She's so innocent, sweet, and you people got her connected to pedophiles or things of that nature. Listen to what Josh Hawley says to Zuckerberg, and he actually does it.
Let me ask you this. There's families of victims here today. Have you apologized to the victims? Would you like to do so now?
Well,
they're here. You're on national television. Would you like now to apologize to the victims who have been harmed by your product? Show them the pictures. Would you like to apologize for what you've done to these good people?
I'm sorry for everything that you've all gone through. It's terrible. No one should have to go through the things that your families have suffered. And this is why we invest so much and are going to continue doing industry-leading efforts to make sure that no one has to go through the types of things that your families have had to suffer.
That was an amazing event to have Zuckerberg stand facing the audience and apologize. But it was just words. Because then the other question is, do you think they should be compensated? Maybe out of your own pocket. Oh, we got more on this coming up in the next hour. Also, some striking, shocking numbers from a teenager over pay for teachers and staff despite students not really learning. She put it together and she shocked the students, or rather the school board, when she appeared. Also, later in this hour, Joe Rogan on his podcast says, all you leftists, I'm watching what you've been doing, what you're doing now. I'm out of here. That'll be coming up later in this hour. Also up next, Disney losing its battle against the state of Florida so far, because they didn't like the parental rights bill passed in Florida. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Pigeons, they are everywhere, and they're very good at dive bombing freshly washed cars. Wellington Environmental reminds you, those droppings are more than a nuisance. They can be a major health issue, especially massive droppings on buildings or in parking garages. So who do you call to safely clean it up? You do what many hospitals, universities, public buildings already do. You call Wellington Environmental. Wellington Environmental has been dealing with all kinds of hazards for 35 years. Special people, special skills, special equipment. Wellington gets it done. So to avoid health issues ranging from pigeon droppings to mold to chemical leaks, contact Wellington, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. 4930. WellingtonSTL.com. Wellington Environmental, your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps in the afternoon.
Horace, Americans individually have lost over $4,000 in income and over $7,000 where you have a household with both parents working.
It shouldn't be, it's the economy, stupid. We should just say, stupid! It's the economy. Unbelievable the devastation that Americans are feeling.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps, weekdays at 3:30
on News Talk STL.
What if everything you thought and believed to be true about owning and buying your home turned out to be wrong?
Straightforward, objective advice on the right way to make the most out of every dollar you put into your home.
We're the only country that has one of those. Most other countries, considering like Canada, the UK, they don't have long-term fixed-rate mortgages like that. They're all variable-rate mortgages.
HomeWise with Michael Midget, Sunday mornings at 9 on News Talk STL.
Great news for my sponsor, Napoli C. And it's no surprise to me nor hundreds who have dined there. The first time I entered, it was clear Napoli C is unique. The decor, the fish, imaginative cocktails. And, of course, Napoli C is right next door to Napoli 3 in St. Charles. Napoli 2 is in Town and Country. The original Cafe Napoli is in Clayton. And I'm honored to endorse each of them. Visit any of the Cafe Napolis.
This is News Talk STL.
Never would have hitchhiked to Birmingham if it hadn't been for love. Never would have called the train to Louisiana if it hadn't been for love. Never would have run through the blinding rain without $1 to my name if it hadn't been for love. Never would have seen the trouble that I'm in if it hadn't been for love.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. My guest we've had on numerous times before, and he's just done an excellent article involving the Disney lawsuit that got tossed by a federal judge based on lack of standing. So that doesn't mean it's necessarily fully decided, but it is a win for the state of Florida right now, as Disney was upset because of the parental bill that got passed to the state, and then they were trying to take the state of Florida and the governor to task and everything else. And here to break it down for us, Sean Fleetwood with the Federalist. Sean, welcome aboard again.
It's great to be back. Thanks so much for having me.
You bet. So, again, I want to make it clear that the issue, Disney was suing DeSantis and Florida's Secretary of Commerce because they wanted to restructure some of the improvement district that Disney supposedly was going to have control over it. And at the heart of it, they were really just PO'd at DeSantis and his push for parental rights in the state.
Right. So basically the judge said they did not have, as you indicated at the beginning, that Disney did not have standing to sue Governor DeSantis or Florida's Commerce Secretary. And he also noted that they didn't have any merit. There was no merit for them to even, you know, file this lawsuit claim, which essentially they were claiming that this law that was passed by the Florida legislature and signed into law by DeSantis was a retaliation against Disney's First Amendment rights, and that would the passage of this law would essentially suppress their rights. But as noted by the district judge in this case, there's no evidence to suggest that, because the law that was passed by the legislature and that was signed by DeSantis is perfectly constitutional, and there's no, you know, unconstitutional mechanism in the law that would suppress Disney's ability to speak freely. So,
Disney claiming? How were their rights being suppressed by that?
They basically were saying that this law was purely retaliation, and that in passing it, that it was retaliating against them speaking freely and expressing their
personal rights. Well, speaking freely is, we're going to have all of our characters change to gay outfits and have a whole gay theme at the park, where Walt Disney probably rolling over in his grave.
Yeah, exactly. But something else that the judge noted in his ruling was that the law specifically deals with the Reedy, now formerly known Reedy Creek Improvement District, and restructuring how that board operates. It does not restructure having anything to do with Disney whatsoever. Granted, Disney has influence with the district's board, but that doesn't mean that they're governing the board itself. That doesn't mean that they're enacting laws or regulations throughout the district. the law specifically deals with the district governing entity itself. So any claims that Disney has that, you know, DeSantis's appointees would, you know, allow the governor to have influence and, you know, control what the district does, the judge just cast that aside and dismissed that. They said there's no evidence of that whatsoever. So the idea that Disney had any standing for this, to bring this suit in the first place, you know, now confirmed with this ruling, just completely ludicrous that they even made this claim to begin with.
Let's go back in history, because it was all swampland. Disney came in, Disney Company, Walt Disney at that time still helping head it up, and said, we're going to create a Disneyland here like we have in California, only we're going to take over all this basic useless land, and we're going to turn it into viable opportunity and for the economy and everything else. And it was a grand plan, grand idea, and the state basically let them take over the land, so that 27,000 acres was going to be, quote, under the control of Disney, correct?
Correct, yeah. It was enacted in, I believe it was 1967, the Reedy Creek Improvement Act, I believe it was called, essentially to help Disney, you know, as you said, improve economically, essentially build up their business and improve the area, you know, create jobs for people. But now, as we've seen, they've kind of taken advantage of that and, you know, really used it to expand their business. And, you know, everyone's for free capitalism and everything like that. But, you know, as indicated, you know, a couple months ago, last year, when Disney, when this law was enacted, rather, the Reedy Creek Improvement District essentially made a last-minute maneuver where they ceded all of their governing authority to Disney. Essentially, it was a move to, you know, take away any power or authority that these new DeSantis appointees on the oversight board would have. And so in response to that, that's what prompted DeSantis to say, okay, this looks very shady. You know, it looks like you guys skipped a lot of you guys look like you skipped a lot of legal steps to make that resolution go through. So we're going to launch an investigation. And it wasn't long after that, at which point Disney decided to file their lawsuit.
And therefore, they were trying to create Disney as a separate state inside the state of Florida.
Right, yeah.
And they felt they were not beholden to parental rights or anything else the governor wanted to sign on.
Yeah, I mean, they basically acted as a local operating government within the state for decades. And this law essentially just brings more oversight and accountability, allowing the state to have more oversight of what exactly the district is doing, and allow the governor to make appointments to the district board, bringing more transparency. And of course, Disney didn't want that. You know, this is the same company that lashed out and called the Parental Rights and Education Bill, which, you know, prevents educators, public school officials from talking to little kids in kindergarten through third grade on subjects such as sexual orientation, so-called gender identity, a very benign law. But of course, they just couldn't help themselves, and they had to lash out and have gone completely left wing, as you indicated earlier.
And they've got the opportunity; they've got children right in front of them, joyful to be, you know. And we've had over the years Super Bowl champs or whatever. Where are you going? I'm going to Disneyland, Disney World. I mean, it's all exciting, and so the kids are there, and it's a perfect opportunity to prey on them and push gender identity questions. And you begin to change some of the characters that have long been associated with Disney to dealing with pronouns as opposed to just be fun for the kids.
Yeah, I mean, growing up for me, I'm not that old, but, you know, when I was a kid, Disney was, you know, the big thing. Everyone was excited. What's the next Disney movie coming out? Right. When I was in high school, my friends and I, you know, it was our thing to go and watch the Marvel movies together. That was, you know, something we all enjoyed doing together. But now you look at the content that they're putting out, and if it's not remakes that are, you know, quote unquote reimagined with, you know, different characters and, you know, pushing, you know, diversity and equity and inclusion and all these leftist terms, it's just not the same anywhere close to what it was, you know, when Walt Disney was back then, or even 10 years ago. You know, they were putting out really great projects, really great pieces of art that, you know, we could go and watch and escape from reality with, but now everything is just about pushing this leftist social agenda.
And you write in this, we're listening to Sean Fleetwood, writer for The Federalist. You write in here at one point, the bill, the parental rights bill, prevents educators from instructing children in kindergarten through third grade on sexual orientation and so-called gender identity, bending the knee to Democrats and their media allies who maliciously label the law as Don't Say Gay, which it never says those words, Don't Say Gay Law. Then Disney CEO Bob Chapek parroted the leftist lies that the law could be used to target LGBTQ kids, and saying the company would be reassessing its approach to advocacy, including political giving in Florida and beyond. In other words, extortion against Florida. You will keep that? We'll just pull up. So go.
Yeah, and I would just note that, you know, you really look at the political advocacy of Disney and how it's really, really has hurt them as a company and as a brand. I mean, you go back just, let's go to 2019. That's when you had Avengers Endgame, right? This great cinematic masterpiece, made the most money of any, you know, movie in cinematic history. They're putting out great projects like Frozen 2, making all this money. And now you look at the projects they're putting out today and they're barely getting any money. I mean, the Marvels, which was this, their latest Marvel movie that came out a couple months ago, was the lowest, you know, box office hit of any Marvel movie that they put out in history. It was supposed to be this female-led, you know, girl empowerment film, and it just completely flopped. And all of their latest Pixar projects have flopped. So they're hurting financially at the box office. They're hurting with Disney Plus subscribers, which is why I think you're seeing the company sort of refocus, saying, okay, we need to really build up our park attendance. That's
really
what we need to focus on, rather than just acknowledging the problem with the company, which is you're driving away your core audience.
Absolutely. I find it interesting you say they were about empowering women. Well, how can a woman be empowered against a transgender? I mean, but
what is a woman?
Yeah, right. But here's the issue. And I haven't seen any of these latest movies or anything. I could care less. I don't have kids right now, but I care for those who do. Have you actually seen them? Have they begun to realize, even though we're suffering, we are going to start trying to restructure and go back to the basic stuff? And they're still losing because they've distorted the brand so much, much like Bud Light, that I don't care what you do with it now. I'm not interested anymore. I'm done.
Yeah, I mean, it really is just an amazing act of corporate suicide. I mean, as a company, that they were just riding high, that they were making billions. They were the most successful entertainment company in the world, and on the flip of a dime, they decided they wanted to get politically active, bending the knee to these radical leftists within the company, political activists, and they just completely have self-destructed as a company. And it's kind of, you know, sad for the people who, you know, worked there and
right.
who didn't want to engage
right.
in any of that
right.
because now they're suffering, losing jobs and stuff like that. But I mean, just to see this is just a truly remarkable thing. And they're not even pivoting. They're not even going away from it. They're continuing to embrace it over and over and over again. My friend I was visiting in Florida back in September, he wanted to go to Hollywood Studios, and I begrudgingly went along with him. And there was this wall up that had a rainbow, you know, colored, trans flag colored, you know, Mickey Mouse ears that people could take a picture with. And that's in the park itself, and that's just one part of it. So
yeah.
they're continuing to embrace it, and they just don't seem to grasp that what they're doing is destroying the brand that they've spent decades cultivating.
Yeah. So the days of Disney, as you wrote at one point here, is that the corporate kingdom is over. Sean Fleetwood, thank you very much for your time, sir.
Thanks so much, sir. God bless.
You bet. God bless. And coming up a little bit later, Joe Rogan's take on moving away from the left. More to come. You do not want to go anywhere. Please stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
I got an email which brought a smile. A woman named Mary wrote me, "We are purchasing a new roof from John Beale based on your recommendation." I thanked her then. I do it again now. Mary, I only endorse clients I believe in, and I've been a spokesman for John Beale for 10 years. It's all about trust. So if, like Mary, you need John Beale, trust me. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perished in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
I like supporting local companies that give back to the community. For more than 40 years, Vincent's Jewelers has helped raise more than $1.5 million for local charities. So I'm personally asking that when you're shopping for jewelry, give Vincent's a chance. And in turn, Vincent's will give even more to our community. On Olive, just east of 270, new specials every day on vincentsjewelers.com or Vincent's Facebook.
News, analysis, opinion.
USA, USA! That's a big game, man!
She's really losing control.
People in China didn't ask me about people mowing each other down in a mall.
This is News Talk STL.
It is their responsibility.
Hate is a metastasizing agent.
We're all keeping a close eye on this.
Legal immigration is crazy right now.
The United States is not being overrun.
News Talk STL.
It is a crisis at the border without question.
At NewsTalkSTL.com.
Planning a move? I encourage you to call McGuire Moving. And they not only do moving, they can provide you portable storage. They'll bring a storage container to you. You fill it at your time and convenience. They'll pick it up, move it where you want it. Here's their phone number, 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Website, McGuireMoving.com. McGuireMoving.com. Locally owned.
This is News Talk STL.
Very superstitious writings on the wall. Very superstitious letters about to fall.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
We begin our report with an American warship fighting off attacks in the Middle East. The USS Kearney shot down a ballistic missile and several drones on Wednesday. That's according to a U.S. official who blamed Iranian-backed Houthis for the strikes. This would be the Houthis' 38th attack on ships of all kinds in the Red Sea since mid-November.
In Yemen today, a Houthi anti-aircraft missile targeted American patrol aircraft. The missile, which was in firing position, was destroyed by the U.S. military, according to the Pentagon.
Folks that need to show restraint are these groups that Iran backs.
Groups like the one that killed three Americans earlier this week.
Yeah. They continue to fire their missiles, and what are we doing? Well, so far, there is something happening, and I'm going to share it with you in a moment, and you're going to say, what? What? Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin is back on the JLB directly, and he held a news conference earlier today, and he wanted to begin with dealing with our three troops we lost at Tower 22.
It's been a difficult few days for the Department of Defense, and the entire department is united in our outrage and sorrow over the death of three U.S. service members on Sunday in Jordan. We all mourn the loss of three Army Reserve soldiers serving at Tower 22.
And that's appreciated. He went on to talk about them and their families and those who have had those troops injured. And their families, and all of them who are in danger zones right now. And then he talked about President Biden and his resolve as to doing, well, you'll have to listen.
The president will not tolerate attacks on American troops, and neither will I. Our teammates were killed by radical militias backed by Iran and operating inside Syria and Iraq. In the aftermath of the vile Hamas terrorist assault on Israel on October 7th, terrorist groups backed by Iran and funded by Iran have tried to create even more turmoil, including the Houthis, attacking commercial shipping in the Red Sea. So this is a dangerous moment in the Middle East. We will continue to work to avoid a wider conflict in the region. But we will take all necessary actions to defend the United States, our interest, and our people.
I'd like to know what they've done to shore up defenses at Tower 22, because according to the White House, they admit, well, that location had not been properly protected because they'd never been attacked before. Strategic military advice for you? Just because they haven't been attacked before and you don't shore them up makes them one of the prime targets to attack the next time. And he says Biden will do everything. Look, we're waiting to see, and I don't want to telegraph to the enemy what's going to happen. I am against that. But you know who Biden is taking some immediate action on? This is one of those, when I read this, if you're driving, please do not lose control of your car. Don't suddenly have a heart attack on me either. President Biden is issuing an executive order targeting violence in the West Bank. He's going to target Israeli settlers in the West Bank. He said they are undermining stability in the area. The new directive will impose sanctions on several individuals, Israelis, accused of having participated in violent acts inside the West Bank. The names will be announced later, and they're also going to do everything they can to shut off any money and funding they might get from any Americans, and any Americans giving them money would also be under suspect. Now, this targeting Israelis in the West Bank. If they're upset in the West Bank, why do you think they're upset? Am I in favor of the violence they're carrying out? I don't know exactly what they're doing, but the attention of the president is directed at 4, maybe 8 West Bank settlers who are Israelis. Now, last December, Secretary of State Blinken had made a remark. It kind of got lost in the mix of everything at that point. But he said, extremist Israeli settlers are responsible for violence in the West Bank, so therefore we're going to put in rules. They cannot come to the U.S. Well, I'll be. We do have a rule to keep people out of the U.S. if they're Jewish and in the West Bank and identified as a violent Jew inside the West Bank. You can be a violent person of any religion in the Middle East. Come on in. The door's open. You're not going to find any kind of common sense here. You're not going to find any way you could explain it and say, well, maybe it means this, it means that. I'm looking at directly. Biden is going to go after Israeli settlers that they consider creating violence and havoc inside the West Bank. Says nothing about going after Houthi rebels, although he supposedly will do that, nor against Hamas, supposedly will help do some of that. And maybe against Iran, we'll wait and see, Hezbollah. There are about 700,000 Israeli settlers in the West Bank. It's not clear which specific numbers Biden is targeting, but he sits down and has time to write an executive order to go after the Jews in the West Bank because they're acting up. Good Lord, what are we doing here? What are we doing? The answer is nothing. We are dealing with stupidity at the highest level. Every time I think we could not do something more stupid, we have this example in front of us. I told you, of course, Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin did come back. He did address reporters, and he also took time to acknowledge, my bad.
But I want to be crystal clear. We did not handle this right, and I did not handle this right. I should have told the president about my cancer diagnosis. I should have also told my team and the American public. And I take full responsibility. I apologize to my teammates and to the American people. Now, I want to make it very clear that there were no gaps in authorities and no risk to the department's command and control. At every moment, either I or the deputy secretary was in full charge.
Really? Really? Well, actually, the deputy secretary didn't even know you were in the hospital for a day. And you were not in position to be in charge. And she didn't know she was supposed to be in charge. And you hadn't even told the president for another 2 days after that. Or members of your own defense council, joint chiefs of staff, and members of Congress for a day after that. And yet we're supposed to believe that nothing slipped by us. We were on top of everything. You know, I have seen a lot of cattle, the fields of West Texas and East Texas and South and North. And there's always one thing I can guarantee you. If you go out to check on those cattle, you don't watch where you're stepping. You're going to step in a big heap of stinking. And that's what I'm getting from this presentation from General Lloyd Austin. When he tells us to reassure us, nothing was missed. Everything was done right. We didn't. I made a mistake not telling everybody. That's my bad. Yes, it is your bad. But I'm not buying the lie that everything was going the way it should, because no one knew where the hell you were. How could it go the way it was supposed to go? This is the example of what the left is trying to prop up as good leadership and should continue. You don't like Trump? Fine. Do you like this kind of nonsense? This idiocy? Well, Joe Rogan says, I've always been a lefty. I've always supported left candidates. Maybe I'm a little bit more libertarian when it comes to economic issues, but basically I'm a life in politics on the left side. But what I'm seeing now, we're going to hear directly from Joe Rogan when we continue.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want to give someone something which they will really enjoy? Give them a Cafe Napoli gift card. You pick the amount, and they pick which of the Cafe Napolis they want to visit. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Cafe Napoli in Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C. The Napoli gift card. It's the perfect gift for anyone or your entire office. Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I was 100% a left-leaning person who lived in Los Angeles. I was 100%. I never voted Republican my whole life. I was very left-leaning, especially with, like, any social issues. When it comes to financial things, I'm a little bit more conservative. But at the end of the day, I'm way more left than I am right. But California went nuts, man. It's gone, like, full communist. It's out of its mind. And their approach to law enforcement is so insane. It's so insane. The no cash bail, the letting people out for committing violent crimes.
And he went on and on. That's Joe Rogan on his podcast saying to the leftist, I'm out of here. Let me share something else with you. Recently, there was a D.C. rally by radical leftists. There are folks on the left, Democrats, that do not think the way some of these idiots do. And they are good, solid, patriotic Americans. But they are also responsible for quelling their side and straightening it out, and I don't see them doing it. And your silence is granting them permission to continue. But anyway, a bunch of them rallied, trying to intimidate staff at the Heritage Foundation. They were in front of the main office on Heritage Foundation, where they are working on Project 25, a plan to staff a prospective Republican administration and counter all the leftist attitudes in our government. One of the activists speaking at the rally this last weekend captured on video threatening to harass Federalist staffers at their homes and churches and stated, we need to go and find out where they live and where they go to church, who they hang out with, and bird dog they asses. And the crowd, yeah! That sounds like a call for violence and insurrection. Oh, that's right. It's on the left. Same thing happened, of course, when Trump was in office, and they were told and encouraged by Texas Congresswoman Lee that you see them sitting having dinner somewhere, you go up and you get in their face and say, you're not welcome here. And they did that to Sarah Huckabee Sanders, chasing her and her family out of a diner when they're just trying to enjoy a meal together. The group included several radicals, organizations such as the Center for Popular Democracy, Human Rights Campaign, CPD Action, Vocal New York, Rise and Resist. Organizers typically used, of course, leftist inflammatory language, pointing to an Instagram post by one of the organizers. Our message, no day one dictator. That's reference Trump says, I want to be a dictator for one day. By executive order, I'm going to cancel a lot of the stuff that Joe Biden has done. Well, of course, they don't want him in. They're going to do everything they can to stop it. One said the purpose is to bring public and media attention to the threat to U.S. democracy that the Heritage Foundation represents. I would guarantee you half of the people in their crowd could not spell foundation. I doubt they could spell heritage. I want to share something with you. Someone, a good friend of mine, a listener from Arizona, sent this to me. I don't know if the numbers are accurate. I didn't bother to do the ciphering, but I found it enlightening. Let me share it to you. And again, my caution, I don't know if the numbers would actually equate to what we're looking at as I go through it. But I'm just going to read it for fun, and I encourage you to listen just for fun. If you have a point of contention, raise it at some point. But he said, every time you hear the word billion from politicians mentioned in such a casual manner, you wonder, are they thinking about my money when they say billion? Well, of course they are. And he points to apparently an advertising agency actually did the job of putting this together, but the ad agency is not cited, so I can't give it to you. Here's the perspective. One of them, a billion seconds. Now, think about a billion seconds. 1 billion seconds ago would take you back to 1959. Whoa, that's a different perspective, isn't it? A billion minutes ago, Jesus was alive. So a billion seconds ago is 1959. A billion minutes ago, Jesus was alive. A billion hours ago, our ancestors were living in the Stone Age. That billion number, you get a better perspective of it, don't you? It's hard to grab, understand $1 billion, but when you start putting into something like this, my God, here we are, 2024, and a billion seconds ago would take us back to 1959? Or would a billion minutes ago, Jesus would be alive? It also adds, 1 billion days ago, no one walked on the earth on 2 feet. That's 1 billion days ago. 1 billion dollars ago, $1 billion ago was only 8 hours and 20 minutes at the rate our government is spending it. Oh, my God. I got some more I want to share from this with you in the second hour. And we're going to get back into Cruz and Senator Hawley going after these tech giants who think they know what's best for you and your kids. We got a lot to cover, and you're going to hear from a teenager at a school board meeting calling them out. They don't like it. Tough luck. Please stay with us, and remember our pledge, one nation under God.